You're listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastor Jeb Dotson. Join us today as we tackle hard topics, current and future events, as well as tough questions about the Bible from our live listening audience. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. Our hope and prayer is that through this program, you continue to ask questions and seek God's truth so you may be equipped to stand firm in your faith and grow closer in your relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to The Threshing Floor. We are here in the studio, and I have with me my ride or dies in here, my guys that we just get together and we dig deep into God's Word, and you know, it's just so great to have this time with Pastor Tim Lowry, Pastor David Ballou. How's it going, guys?
Awesome.
And everything's good. I tell you, we were talking about all this rain we had.
I've been dodging raindrops all day.
Yeah, and it's like several days of it. And yeah. Tim, you were saying like you weren't even sure that you could get out and
be
able to get here.
Today it was really like soup. The road to the station, when it rains, it's not just the fact that it floods, but it turns into something that is like liquid jelly or something. Yeah. It's hard. The road's hard every other day, but as soon as you get a little, you know, that flood, it's like liquid soup. It's just, you could slide sideways, and I was like, very, very dangerous to try to get out, or worse, you get stuck and then you can't, you know, you got to walk home.
Well, it's not that often that we have so much water come in so quickly, but in the last few days, it's been a lot. You know, my backyard looked like a river. You know, it was just, the whole thing was underwater, and it was just running from, I guess, the neighbors across, because it slopes slightly downhill across my yard, and it even started flooding the whole back porch, and it was just a mess. But I came to the realization that my gutters don't work.
Oh, no.
I'm looking, and the water's pouring off the end of my gutters and creating like just this waterfall. I said, something's wrong. So I had to get up there after the rain and just muck out the gutters. It's not pleasant. You know, when you have things growing in your gutters, it's past time.
Yeah. Well, we don't even have gutters on our house. So it just, like you said, it just comes down in sheets and floods, and it's crazy. And we couldn't, it's rained so quickly and so much, we didn't know where our pond started or stopped.
That's how you have catfish flopping around in the field.
Yes.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. Well, we're glad that you've decided to tune in with us on The Threshing Floor, and we just hope your day is going well. Let me give you this number to text. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment or maybe a subject matter you'd like us to talk about. Text this number, 936-337-1413. Or you could drop us a letter in the mail. The old-fashioned way, we love to get letters. Make it out to The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. You know, guys, this Sunday is a special day for, you know, many churches. It seems like certain days, and there's a handful of them where you can expect there to be so many visitors, and even if people don't go to church, they'll go to church on this day. So you have Christmas is one of them,
yep,
and Easter's one, and then you have Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is coming up. And I just was thinking about this, and I told the guys, you know, we need to just do a short tribute to moms, because, you know, without having a godly mom in my life, I probably wouldn't have gone down the path and made the choices that I made. So, guys, let's just take a moment here. What is maybe one thing that you could remember or recognize about your mom? And I also want you who are listening at home, why don't you text this in? If you text in something, I'll read it through the show. Again, that number is 936 337-1413. Just text me a one sentence thing about your mom and we'll go ahead and get started. Pastor David.
That's easy for me. I was kind of a hoodlum when I was, you know, growing up.
No.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so I had a mom that prayed for me, you know, and I just want to speak to all the mothers out there that perhaps you have children that, you know, haven't gone the way you've trained them to go. And you're concerned about them. But I tell you what, my mom was one of those moms. She was one of those moms that was concerned about both my brother and me. We got involved in drugs and just, you know, people ask me, were you raised in church? I said, no, I was raised heathen. You know, my mom would want us to go to church and she would make us go to church sometimes. But the issue was when I got saved, you know, all the relatives were saying, what happened to David? What happened to Dan?
Right.
Both my brother and I ended up pastoring. Whatever happened to these people? My mom, and my mom said this, those are my miracle boys. Mm. You know, she was never a real outgoing prayer warrior type person. But I know in those quiet places, she was interceding for her boys,
yes.
And God heard. That was awesome.
Here's one that came in. It says, my mom always had a hot meal ready on the table. You know, and that's, you know, that's a great mom memory right there.
Oh, yeah.
Times have changed, haven't they?
Yes.
When I grew up, Monday we had certain foods. You know, Thursday was always spaghetti night because my mom went shopping.
Okay.
You know, Friday was fish stick night. You know, so yeah, we always had hot meals at my house. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah. But that's something, you know, a tribute to a mom that can just, especially if there's not a whole lot of food in the pantry, just kind of make something. My mom would call it goulash. You know, it's just like throw a bunch of stuff together. She'd give it a fancy name, put it on the table, and she said, this is goulash. It sounds fancy, you know, but really it was just like a bunch of stuff she had, either leftovers and stuff she'd throw together.
Right.
Well,
my hat's off to the moms. See, my mom was a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she did a great job, you know, taking care of the house, taking care of kids, you know, putting Band-Aids on wounded knees and those kinds of things. But my hats off to the moms out there that are working moms that perhaps are single moms. You know, our prayer for you is that God would just reveal himself to you and the strength that he can provide would be not only it's available to you, but you would just receive it and just receive the grace that's going to come with his strength.
I was going to say, moms are underrated a lot. They are unappreciated until you realize, oh, wow, you know, I'm missing something. That's what mom used to do for me. My mom used to do my laundry, you know. When you go out of the house and you're like, oh, I don't have anything to wear. It's like, oh, wait a minute. You know, now you got to start doing things for yourself. And you start really, the older you get, I think the more you appreciate your mom. In the time, you might be feeling like, oh, I'm feeling like I'm being punished or I've got to clean my room or I got to do this. But the older you get, the better you feel for your mom. You have much more things. I just remember one time that my mom, she was crazy. She was, you know, crazy in a good way. I remember one time I found this bird and it was a little baby blue jay and I got it out of the nest and I'm carrying it. I'm walking it home and the parents of this blue jay are like circling around, you know, and I didn't
angry,
know.
Angry.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know that they could like attack or anything. I'm just, there's this little birdie, you know, sitting on my finger and I bring him into the house and I'm like, mom, can we keep him? Long story short, she said, all right, well, you know, we'll nurse it to health. And she did. She took that bird in. She nursed it. It became a pet for many, many years. We taught the little bird how to fly. And she opened up her whole house so this bird could fly inside and for her son. Instead of going, no, put that thing back outside, you know. She was crazy enough to say, hey, let's do this. And we had fond memories of that bird. And my parents were professional photographers that they did weddings and stuff on the weekends. My dad was in aerospace, but on the weekends they did this other job. And that little bird would take pictures It would love the camera, and it would just sit there and be the perfect model where she couldn't get us kids to sit in front of the camera, mm-hmm. you know, because we were like, we want to go play out in the mud. We want to go do this. And so it's just been, it was a joy to see that she was willing to open up her whole house for that, for just her son. So
awesome. Well, here's another text that came in, said, my mom was my biggest fan, my own personal cheerleader. That, you know, that's a tribute to those moms that would just back their kids up no matter what, whatever they're interested in, whatever they're going through. You know, a mom has their kids back. If you're listening, you have any other, any comments or thoughts that you can text in, that number again is 936-337-1413. For me, I tell you, it's something that I really didn't appreciate it till later because I didn't realize how hard it was. But my dad was in the Marine Corps, and he wasn't always home, especially if you're stationed in Hawaii. And so we got stationed in Hawaii, and those Marines who were stationed in Hawaii, it was part of the deal where they had to go what's called on float, and they would go off on ship. And I really didn't understand why, but the reason is it's readiness teams. If something should, war would break out, there would be so many Marines on a ship that they could deploy. And so my dad spent months out on ship, like 6 months.
Wow.
We didn't have a dad, and my mom held the house together, three boys, maintenance and other stuff. And I remember one time while he was gone, it was an old station wagon, and the window came loose. I shut the door and the whole window just crashed and glass everywhere. And she just looked at it and she just, you know, she made a comment that I didn't hear say that often. She's like, you know, the devil's really trying to get on my nerves today. And, but it was like things like that, that she went through because she was the mom and the dad at times, you know what I'm saying? And so she became the single mom for months with three boys and three rambunctious boys. We were not angels and we got into stuff and, you know, just wreaking havoc and just having fun and wrestling and breaking things. But mom was there. And so she kept the home even keel, you know, through all the ups and downs and celebrating birthdays and all this other stuff. And even let other kids come spend the night, which is crazy. She would invite more kids over.
Right.
And so I didn't appreciate that till later that I had kids of my own, and my wife and I are trying to do it with just two, and it's the two of us. And I'm thinking, this is hard.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me back in time with my mom and all the things she went through. And so now I just go up and I just hug my mom, you know, just thank her for everything. And I think about that, how she just held the house together while my dad was on ship. Yeah. And so, you know, today we just want to give a tribute to all moms. And I just wanted to have that moment where we can just say thank you to all the moms out there.
Thanks,
whether,
mom.
Yeah.
We appreciate you guys.
Yes, we do.
Whether you have a partner in life or maybe you are going on your own, there's no harder working person than a mom in the world. So this Sunday, please take some time and thank the moms. Call a mom. Just honor the moms. Bring a mom to church. And just take them out to lunch. We're just so excited to celebrate this day. Today, we are continuing in this series called the Great I Am series. And so we're talking about this statement, I am. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, we see this. It's the first time this I am statement comes out. Moses is there talking to God, and Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what do I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And so it's like the most distinctive name that the nation of Israel knew for God. It was Jehovah. And same root word that you get Jehovah, they get the words I am. So they go hand in hand. So that's important to know that when they think of God, Jehovah, it is the same as I am, meaning I am the one and only. There is no one like me. And that's how they viewed their God. And so it made sense, I would think, to Moses. You know, it wasn't an outlandish statement to say, tell them I am sent you. He's like, oh, okay, well, that actually gives a little bit of verification. And that really helps me out there. The meaning is that Moses' credentials for being the one to lead Egypt out of bondage are found in God using the words, I am. And he is the one giving permission to Moses to use his name to deliver the Israelites. So we're going to get back into the word, and we're going to take a quick break. So stick around. We'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Car Dealer Math, presented by Cutshaw Chevrolet. When shopping for a new or used car, sometimes it seems like the numbers just don't add up.
$15,000, but that's just the base price. And you have to add the dock fees, our espresso machine fees, detailing fee, dealer prep charges, added value services, tires, our expensive bumper and bumper warranty. And that covers both bumpers, not the car itself. And don't forget our administration fees to prepare all of these fees. That's why $15,000 really equals $24,000.
At Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland, keeping it simple is what we do best. We don't believe in dealer math. The price you see is the price you get. It's that simple. So for a great selection of new and used vehicles, visit us today at CutshawChevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, we are back. Welcome to The Threshing Floor. Here we are looking at the I am statements. And we were just talking about a tribute to moms. And somebody just sent a text in that's just thanking us for the show. And it just made this statement: the power of prayer by our moms and grandmas, it saved my life and has now led me into the ministry. And so that's another powerful statement. And I so appreciate all of the comments that are coming in about our moms. We're talking about the seven I am statements that Jesus made that you can find in John. And I started out with where Moses is told that. And here's what's important, guys. And I kind of came to this thought process through studying about it again today that, okay, God gave Moses permission to use his name to deliver the Israelites. It's going to be done by God's mighty power, which will work through Moses. Now, fast forward to the New Testament, we see Jesus using this same phrase, I am, or it can also translate Jehovah because it comes from the same root word. So Jesus would now be the one to deliver the people from bondage, not physical bondage like Moses was, but
eternal bondage.
You know, in the Bible, we call it a type. This is a type of Jesus, and that's what Moses was, a type of Christ. He was foreshadowing what Jesus would do. So Moses brought the people out of physical bondage. Jesus shows up and he is delivering the people out of spiritual bondage. So he uses this, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And it makes the Pharisees and Sadducees so mad, and they're just about ready to stone him at that minute, in that second. But it's like they knew what he was saying. I am. It's like, I am Jehovah, and I'm about to deliver the people just like Moses did. And so it's incredible. So today, we're on our third I am statement. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the statement, I am the bread of life. Last week, it was, I am the light of the world. So today, we're looking at the third statement, where Jesus said, I am the door. Let me read that for you, and we'll open it up, guys, if you have any comments on this. John 10:7-10, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So he says, I am the door. Do you know how sheep was kept in Jesus' time? You know, I think it's important to go back there. Think about it. A shepherd would have sheep, and if he came into town, he would have to drop his sheep off in the public pen. And so imagine on any given day, how many families of sheep, per se, were in this pen?
Right.
All mixed together. All different. You know, you had the Johnson's sheep and the Smith's sheep and the McGregor's sheep and all these other sheep. And so in order to get them out, the shepherd would just have to come by and say, come on, sheep. And he would, like, call them out by name. And that's why... in John, it says in the John 10:2, that the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. So that's how he would call them out. So it's almost like representative of the world. And the shepherd comes, you know, with all those different families of sheep, and he has to separate them somehow. So he says, all right, sheep, let's go. Now, what would that look like? If the sheep didn't belong to them, how would a sheep wrangler get the sheep out? You know, how would he do that?
A lot of electric prods or that would get him to get them scared or afraid and run.
It would have to be violent, I would think. You know, like put them in bags or chains or something. and just imagine the chaos if the thief came in. Because I'm sure it was done. To the society in that day, that equals money. And so there's just money in a pen. And so, you know...
It's like going to rob a bank.
Exactly. I mean, that was money in the bank right there. So as long as there have been cattle and sheep and horses and all these things, we have had cattle wranglers. We have had the thieves. We have had those who saw it not as what it was, like sheep. They looked at this as opportunity to steal. And so, you know, I imagine there were times where thieves came in just to steal these sheep that were hanging out in the pen. But it wasn't as easy as just saying, here, sheep, follow me. No, it would probably be a violent act where they would have to pin them, bag them, throw them in at like crates or cages and drag them out. And they were probably kicking and screaming the whole time.
Yeah, and if you were a bystander, you would be looking and going, well, that doesn't look right, you know, because normally you would see how the shepherds go in and they call them out by name and they, you know, they come out. So it's a scary thing, but I like the analogy that you were talking about the sheep being, you know, in the world, you know, like we're in the world and we are God's sheep. And when he calls us, we get to hear him and we'll be obedient. Those that are called by Christ's name, those who have the Holy Spirit in us. And I don't know, maybe it's because I've been hearing God for so many years that sometimes you can take that for granted, the joy that comes with that, to know that you are his, to know that you don't have to stress, you don't have to worry about where you're going, what you're doing. You are loved 100%. And I keep forgetting sometimes, and God has to remind me, that, you know what, there's people that aren't mine yet. They haven't made that decision yet. They haven't heard my voice and come. And that's just something that, it's like, yeah, why aren't you doing that? You know, it's like, come to me, be that sheep. And it's interesting that there's many people that will try to come all different ways to God. But he just says right now, I am the door.
And so what we're going to look at is, what is this door? What does it represent? For the time that we have here today, because I believe that this door can have several meanings as it pertains to Jesus. This is the way that the sheep were intended to go in and intended to go out. Think about you and I in this world. We were intended, created for the purpose of worship. Now, Satan wants to come in and he wants to take us out of our intended purpose, which is the pen outside of this door we're supposed to go in and go out, and pick us up and drag us over the side of the fence. Very violent act, and that's how the enemy treats those. And people get maybe put in a trance or something there, and he tries to lull them to sleep. And so maybe it won't be, they don't have to be captured. Maybe they'll even jump out of the fence on their own, you know. But Jesus, when he says, "I am the door," it's very specific. So it's a special door first that we see. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." So he's a special door, meaning there is no other door like him. Even if the thief came and got a saw and sawed through the fence and made a makeshift door, the sheep wouldn't recognize it. And so they wouldn't see it as the way they're supposed to go. So Jesus is a very specific door, a way, and only by him can we as sheep have life. Would you agree with that, Pastor David?
Exactly. When he said he's the door, door is a way of entrance, right?
Right, yeah.
I just want to add something maybe historical to this conversation in that when I think of shepherds, you know, you think of when Jesus was born, they were out in the field somewhere. I'm not seeing doors out there. I'm not seeing that so much. You know, I see the wolves and the threats that are out there in the open.
Right.
But in Israel, one of the things that was really important were the sacrifices that were made. And when they came to Jerusalem, there was a specific gate called the Sheep's Gate.
Yes.
And I believe this in this context right here, that Jesus was referring to that particular gate in the wall to Jerusalem where sacrificial animals were brought to be sacrificed. And so, you know, Jesus oftentimes in his parables would always,
relate to
something that people understood, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, to get your sheep into the sacrificial lineup, I guess it had to be without spot and without blemish and all that. So perhaps in that context, when Jesus says, "I am the door," to the Jewish mind, it was a little bit different than it would be to us. We think of knock, knock, door opening,
sure,
that kind of
right.
thing. But, you know, this was a special place for people to gather, and you can't get into the sacrificial lineup without going through that particular gate.
And there would be, in that context, the sheep gate, there would be an inspector. Just like we have food inspectors today, where yeah. they would look and talk without spot or blemish. It was a priest, and he would look to make sure there's no deformities, that there was no sores, there's no like eye infections or anything else going on. So they would like handle this sheep, lift up its leg and, you know, move its head and do all these things to this poor little sheep. But the reason is that this sheep had an intended purpose for the Lord. And so if you're going to give something to the Lord, the point is it can't be haphazardly done, because there was a problem that was going on. When God first required animal sacrifices, people started taking the lame animals.
Right.
The weakest ones. Oh, this one's not going to make it anyway. Let's put this in sacrifice. That kind of goes in a whole different direction than a subject. Think about yeah. this, about our tithe and our offerings.
I was going there too.
You know,
I was
like, wait a minute. God wants our very first and our very best. And so do you give to the Lord after everything else is paid and with the little bit of change that you have left in your account, said, okay, this is what's left. Let's give that to God. That's basically what they were doing. And it made God upset. And he said, you're really dishonoring me here because you're bringing in the lame and those that are, I mean, you almost got to carry it in because it's so sick it can't walk on its own. And right. this is what you're sacrificing for me? So this really does, in a context, just so if you're not understanding what we're talking about, put it today in your walk with the Lord. Are you trying to serve God so haphazardly that you have issues of addiction that you're okay with and you're still going to give that to the Lord? Or issues of, it could be anything. It could be pornography. It could be things that you allow to come into your life that you don't know, but you know it doesn't belong there. And we all have issues. The Bible calls it sin. So all these things that we try to come to God, and here's, nobody is perfect, but I think there's something about an ongoing, please God, turn your head, wink, wink, don't look at what I'm doing, I'm going to come see you on Sunday, we're going to make it right, and is a cycle of purposefully interacting in a lifestyle right. that we know God's not happy with.
Well, it's a mindset that actually says I can control God.
Yeah, that exactly.
I can do what I want to do, but I can still hear God. I can still do the things that he asked me to do, but I can just bring him along with me instead of me bowing down and being the servant to the master.
It's good. That's good. I pulled something up here on Google. It's basically a picture of the sheep gate. And basically, it opens up to the temple, the very presence
of God.
Of God. You know, so that's an interesting way to look at it as well. If Jesus says, I'm the door, guess what? You're not going to get into that holy of holy place,
the presence,
without him, the gatekeeper.
Without
the door himself.
Yes.
Well, and it also makes us the point that he is the only way that if he goes through it, you will be saved. There are going to be ways that people are going to stand in front of God in that presence, but that will be too late. They won't be saved. Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of ministers that have done a lot of damage by trying to say that there's so many ways to get to heaven and all you got to do is be a good person.
Right.
And you're right. That just doesn't fly. There's just one way, Jesus Christ. He's the only way, the truth, and the light. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Car Dealer Math, presented by Cutshaw Chevrolet. When shopping for a new or used car, sometimes it seems like the numbers just don't add up.
$15,000, that's just the base pricing. You have to add the dock fees, our espresso machine fees, detailing fee, dealer prep charges, added value services, tires, our expensive bumper and bumper warranty. And that covers both bumpers, not the car itself. And don't forget our administration fees to prepare all of these fees. That's why $15,000 really equals $24,000.
At Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland, keeping it simple is what we do best. We don't believe in dealer math. The price you see is the price you get. It's that simple. So for a great selection of new and used vehicles, visit us today at CutshawChevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
Feel the joy. 104.3 Joy FM.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
All right, well, we are back here on The Threshing Floor talking about where Jesus says, I am the door, or in other translations, the gate for the sheep. Something else that I want to bring out here, that in verse 9, it says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So this is not only a specific door, this is a door of salvation.
Yeah.
And we all need to really stop there for a second, and we're just talking about it, that there's so many ways, according to the world, that you can have salvation, even everlasting life. There was Oprah Winfrey became a huge proponent to this, and she started her own church and following. And she said that there is no specific way to get to heaven, and a lot of people started believing that. And she's just one. There are many high profile, prominent people who have. Who have stepped into the scene and said, listen, all this Bible and stuff, really all you need to know is, and they start teaching people, you know, and actually practically to be a good person, to do good things, to make good choices, good decisions. That you need to know, if you're listening to this, that Jesus is the only way.
Yeah.
And when he says that I am the gate and whoever enters through me will be saved, he's saying that this door, whoever enters through him will be saved. You can't go around Jesus. You can't go over tunnel right. underneath him. You can't bypass him in any way. If you want to be saved, Jesus is the only thing that God will recognize in his shed blood.
I think we buy into some things that are being projected to us all the time. If you watch a television program or maybe a famous person dies, I think of some sports figures where their parents had passed away and they say, well, he's looking down on us, you know, yeah, right. we're playing for him, and they point up in the air to their father or whoever it might be. And I think we think that just because someone dies, they go to heaven.
Right. Or that, if they were a good person.
Exactly. And Jesus is pretty specific when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate. You know, I am the door. And so I think people buy into good people go to heaven.
Well, they're taught that. Even there's, like you said, Pastor, there's religions that teach that, and that teach that you can, in fact, once they die, you can actually pray for that person and get them out of hell.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Wow.
You know, it was God really set up this whole story before it even happened. There are many times where he forecasted what he was about to do. One of those times was when Israel was captive in Egypt. And you guys remember this through the series of plagues. The very last plague was they would have to get a lamb and bring it into their home. So it'd have to be very personal to them.
Yeah.
It'd have to be, they'd actually set up a pen in their home. And in that pen, there would be a gate to bring this little sheep in and take it out. And then after, I'd have to go back and look. I think it's after 2 days or 3 days, they'd have to slaughter this sheep. And then they put the blood on what's called the lintel and the post. So basically all around your door, they were to take this hyssop branch, just, you know, something that they could use it and like paint with, I guess, and just paint the blood all over the top of the door and the sides of the door. And the reason being because God was saying, I'm going to send in my angel, my destructive angel of death, and it's going to take out everything that doesn't have the blood covering. And it was a night of weeping.
Yeah.
Because the firstborn of every house that wasn't covered in this blood, this angel would come in and would literally take their lives away. And I could imagine the screaming and the weeping going on in that night. But for the Israelites, those who did this, on the door, they would apply the blood, they would be saved. Now, what God would, this, it really happened, but what God was really forecasting, he said, there's going to be a time that there will be people who are saved by the Lamb of God, which is Jesus. And so those of us who have received Jesus today, his blood is shed over the doorpost of our lives. And so now we have the covering of the Lamb, then his blood, which is Christ. And therefore, we are operating in Christ, and that is the door by which we are saved. So it's all, I mean, it's cool if you think about yeah. it. You know, the way God's very ironic, and where he has repeated himself beyond the shadow of a doubt, the concept of what he's doing, people yeah. have been given just a chance where there's really no reason to ever reject Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, if you actually read your Bible, not say you're going to read it, but actually go cover to cover, read the Bible, you will see how many times that he makes without a shadow of a doubt what the importance of Christ is and that he is the only way. And when you know that and you see that and you see what, you know, Pastor Dave, I love when you talk about going back to Jerusalem and Israel, and because that's, I love that how you read that. You put yourself in that time period so that you kind of get that historical view and not what an American thinks of the writing, but what would a Jewish person of that time relate to it? How would he relate to it? And it's the sights, it's the sounds, it's the smells, it's all of that amazing things. And I look back in it and I say, you know, there's so many things that I look at the Israelites and I go, why didn't they see that coming?
Yeah.
You know, why didn't they see this? But then there's things in my own life that then a year ago, I would have said, why didn't I see that coming?
You're too close to it.
Right.
You were so close to the situation where you just didn't get it. And I think that was the case with them in their desert experience and everything they went through, even in the disciples. You say, well, why didn't they get it? And they lived with Jesus. They were so close to the situation. It takes somebody to step out of it and then actually look in to understand everything that's going on. Later, after Jesus, he died on the cross. He rose on the third day. He was with them for a time, and then he ascended into eternity. All this began to click. We see that Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He said that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So it's like verifying way back at that sheep gate that where the person at the gate, the priest at the gate, would look at this lamb and inspect it and said, yep, this will do. This will work. This is satisfactory. God is saying to everyone who believes in Jesus, regardless of what you've done in the past, he says, yes, in the shape that you are in, you are satisfactory. Because I see you not as you are, I see the blood that covers you of my only son who died for you on the cross.
Right.
And that's powerful.
And that's a big point, like you were saying about the Passover, when they were huddled inside those homes, the angel was not looking inside the home for the righteousness. The angel was looking for the righteousness of the blood that was covering it. So it's not our righteousness or our unrighteousness. It's the moment we say, Lord God, I need you to come into my life. I need the blood of your son to cover me. And I want to have that salvation. It's his righteousness that God looks at and says, I don't see anything except my son, the blood of my son. And that's a powerful thing. And that gives you that security and that joy to say, I don't have to do anything better or worse than to have God reject me or love me more. He already loved me so much that he gave his son and spilt that blood for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm clothed in that. I can't get better than that.
That's right. That's, you know, it's, you can't earn it, which is just, I think some people think they have to earn their salvation. It's like, it's undeserving, unmerited. It's, we talk so many times in the Bible that we are to put on Christ or clothe ourselves in Christ. We are walking as flawed people in this world, and yet God accepts us. That's pretty much the word justification, just as if we had never committed the crime. So when Jesus sees us, or when God sees us, and we have the blood of Christ that's covering us, he doesn't see all that we have messed up because it's covered in the blood. Then it's an ongoing process too. You and I are going to mess up. We absolutely are. Probably today, definitely by tomorrow, the next day, or something. And I'm not saying that we should plan on messing up, but it's like in our nature.
I saw you point at me.
Yeah. we're fallible people. It's so, but the point is we will never be perfect. So Jesus is a special door. He is a saving door. And there's another point that we can get in our scripture, and you already said it, security. In the second half of verse 9, he said, he will come in and go out and find pasture. The imagery that we get here is that the sheep are safe when the shepherd is present. The sheep can come into the pen and feel safe. They can go out and look for pasture. They can be safe. The Message puts it this way. And if you don't have a Message Bible, it's really cool just to read and get a different rendition here. It says, I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. The sheep are safe to move about and find the shepherd's provision. So it's not just about being saved.
Right.
We come to Christ because it's a better life. There are so many good things that we get from Jesus. It is a life of safety. We have been lifted up out of the rat race, right, and we don't have to scramble around and try to do everything within our limited amount of years we have on the earth, because there's just this secure feeling when you're in Christ. And I don't know if you're listening today, and I mean, you may be incarcerated and you're staring at four walls in a cell, but there's something about having Christ with you in that moment. You can be in the worst situation and yet find peace. And it's an amazing thing. Peace and security, no matter what these people can do to me, I am still going to have safety and security and peace. And I think that's what Jesus is also saying here. He's our safety.
Amen. You know, my thoughts have gone in a different direction here. I hope I don't mess guys
come on,
up.
Come on.
I was thinking of a different door. You know, in Revelations, Jesus is talking to the Laodicean church, and he basically says, I know your works. You're neither hot or cold. You know, I wish you were, you know,
either
one of those, you know, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, right? And that church says, because you say I'm rich, because we've become wealthy and have need of nothing, do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor? And then he goes on to say this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's almost like, see, God, Jesus is the door to invite us into this blessing. Mm-hmm. And here we find him outside a door that we have the ability to open.
Yes.
You know, and there's a lot of people that they're religious. There's a lot of people who maybe are doing the right things, but they don't understand how important it is for us to have open lives to Jesus to bring that transforming work. When he comes in to sup with you, I guarantee it's going to be a meal that you'll remember forever.
Yes.
You know, and although we know that Jesus is the door to have access to heaven, there's a door that we control that we need to open up so that he can draw near to us. And I really think that's a word for somebody out there, that you've just been you've closed your heart to the things of God. Maybe you knew him once upon a time, and you walked through that door that he provided you into salvation. But right now you're cold. Maybe you're not cold. Maybe you're just lukewarm. And God doesn't want to spew you out of the mouth. He wants you to open up the door of your life so he can come in, sup with you, and bring you the peace and the joy that you perhaps had lost.
And there's no other place where you can really be fulfilled. And I will close. This is the final analogy we can give of the door. It's a special door, a saving door. It's a secure door. And finally, it says, I have come that may have life and have it to the full. It's a door that satisfies. The thieves that Jesus may have been referring to are the false prophets or the Pharisees. The devil is referred to as a thief looking to destroy us. But God is here to satisfy your soul. Those pastures that are deep green, and the water that is just cool and crisp and blue, he has that for you in the Spirit. We're going to take one more commercial break, and we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
dealer math presented by Cutshaw Chevrolet. When shopping for a new or used car, sometimes it seems like the numbers just don't add up.
$15,000, that's just the base pricing. You have to add the dock fees, our espresso machine fees, detailing fee, dealer prep charges, added value services, tires, our expensive bumper and bumper warranty. That covers both bumpers, not the car itself. And don't forget our administration fees to prepare all of these fees. That's why $15,000 really equals $24,000.
At Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland, keeping it simple is what we do best. We don't believe in dealer math. The price you see is the price you get. It's that simple. So for a great selection of new and used vehicles, visit us today at CutshawChevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy. Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, it's been a great show, and it's always great to talk about Jesus and all of the great promises and everything that he has for us, everything that he's done.
I love this show because it really, the threshing floor, I mean, there's times where we just get in and start threshing and stuff starts flying up. And I love that. It's like you brought it all the way to Revelation and you bring, I mean, it's, that's the joy when you get to talk about Christ. You know, it's just an amazing thing. And from Genesis to Revelation, every book you can find Christ in it. And how amazing is that? I mean, that's, you'll find everything and you realize everything in this life, it was made for him, through him, and is his. And he owns that. He has that deed to this earth now because it was bought and paid for. So it's amazing when you get to think, hey, I am his.
You know, I'm thinking of a Beatles song where it says, all you need is love. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm hearing, you know, we need to have love. We need to be kind to one another. And people say, yeah, those are all virtues, but they don't attribute those virtues to Jesus. You know, it's almost like if you don't understand that Jesus is the reason you can love. Jesus is the reason you can find peace. Jesus is the source of kindness. Then what you can buy into a lie real easy. You want to separate yourself. It's like saying, yeah, I believe in God, but don't ever use the word Jesus.
Well, I think that's why a lot of people that claim that we need to have all of this love are the first people to be intolerant if it doesn't go with what they think love is.
The source of love is God, you know? God is love.
Yeah.
And so when you take God out of the equations, and there's a lot of forces out there that want to take God out of the equation. They're okay with you saying love. They're okay with you saying peace. They're okay with all that stuff. And, you know, I'm getting pretty riled up about it, you know, because we got to go back to the Bible. What does the Bible say is truth? You know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth.
Anything else you're going to experience is a false love, and it's going to fall short. And I think that's what drives me crazy. It's like, you know, so many people are buying into these fake products, this fake love. And it's like, if you just knew the love of Christ, you would be radically changed. You would be wanting to love everybody around you. There's something that you can't do by yourself. If you're trying to love in your own strength, you can't do it. But there's times where if you don't have Christ, you would not love that person. But then when you have Christ, you see it through his eyes. You have this heart, this love, this desire for that person the way he sees it. And you can't explain that if you don't have Christ in you.
And as the door, he basically is saying, you have access.
Yeah. It's like, yes. I'm not holding this back.
Yeah. No.
Come.
And there's no better place to be. I'm going to leave everyone with this passage of scripture. Psalm 31 verse 7 and 8 says, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. I went through a time last year in November where, I mean, there's so many things going on and it felt like the weight of the world was just crushing me. And on top of that, I got COVID. and it wasn't a light case. It was heavy for me. It took 6 weeks to get over. It seemed like I was trying to get better, but then I would start running a fever again, and I'd end up in the hospital. And I don't know if that is your story, but that scripture speaks to me. You saw me in my affliction. You knew the anguish of my soul, but you did not hand me over to the enemy. Jesus has nothing but love for you. And I will tell you, he's the one who got me through. Is during that time, I clung to the scripture like never before. I mentioned earlier that I actually started writing the scripture word for word. It was during that time that I felt so alone and just locked out and just so bad that it was just me and Jesus. And it was me and the Word. And I began to just write out his Word. And I'm still doing it. I'm in Hebrews now. I almost have the entire book of Hebrews. I have several other books that I've written word for word. But it's Jesus became my life preserver in the middle of a storm.
Yes.
And I tell you what,
that's good.
I, on the other side of that, I love him more today than I've ever loved him, because he came in and rescued me from a very dark place of my mind where I thought, I'm done for. I mean, I was at the point, it's like, I don't even know if I can pastor after this. Right. I don't even know if I can have a ministry after this.
Because at one point, it was even breathe. Yeah, I remember having trouble breathing.
Yes, it was. I don't even think that I can function. I'm on my way out. But Jesus came, and he became a real presence. And here's the thing. He can be that presence for you today. You just speak to him, pray to him, invite him into your life. We love you, and we'll see you again next week. Be blessed.
You've been listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastor Jeb Dotson. The Threshing Floor is a ministry of Life Point Church. We would love to hear from you. You can mail your questions and comments to The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. That's The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. Until next time, may the love of God richly bless and strengthen you.